Hey everybody, it's Josh Rutledge, your co-host for Fearscape Paranormal Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to support us more, please head over to our website, fearscapepodcast.com. There you can click on store and browse some really awesome t-shirts and maybe pick a couple up, or even go to our Patreon page and see how you can support us monthly. We love bringing you awesome content just as much as you like listening to it. Enjoy the show.
The following program is presented for entertainment purposes. WCHQ does not necessarily endorse the ideas presented.
Fearscape is a program that explores the legends and lore around many creepy and scary things. Information is researched and presented in an entertainment fashion and is presented based off of what we found. Legends have a way of changing over time, so
beware.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Fearscape FM, here on 100.9 FM WCHQ.
Welcome to episode 13, our lucky-ish number.
Yeah, our lucky-ish number. It must be lucky, because we've got a special guest tonight.
We do.
We do.
Who could that be?
That's our good friend and DJ here at WCHQ, Mr. Ed Black. That's right.
What's up, everybody?
That's right. Local comedian, local DJ, local love guru,
local teddy bear.
Local teddy bear. That's right. And we'll get to him shortly.
yes, sir.
Because I got some stuff I got to talk about. Yeah, do you want to just go ahead and move right into creepy ketchup?
I like ketchup.
Yeah, let's do it.
Creepy ketchup. Creepy ketchup. Creepy ketchup. Creepy ketchup. Y'all, it's creepy.
We had hot dogs today for lunch for our potluck, and we had ketchup, and all I kept thinking of was, hey, it's creepy ketchup.
It's only creepy if it's haunting you.
It has been ever since I ate them, if you know what I mean.
But yeah, definitely, you know, here on the FM, we have not had much creepy ketchup the last couple episodes.
Mm-mm.
It's been kind of a slow go for, but let me tell you, I got one, and I brought it up on the podcast, and I wanted to bring it up here. The three knocks or whatever you said.
Oh, the three scratches or taps?
Yeah, three taps. A couple weekends ago, I was at the Bardstown, which is a local Shakespeare pub here. And when I was upstairs in the theater just messing around before I went downstairs to go teach my improv class, I was just having a good time dancing. I had my headphones in and stuff like that, dancing on stage and just having a good old time being me.
I need to see that security footage.
Yeah, being me. And then I felt somebody tap me on the right shoulder like a friend would do when you're turned to the left and they tap you on the right shoulder and you look and then they're gone, you know, because they're actually on the other side. So that happened to me. And I'm like, ha, 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 Ben must already be here. So I look over. Nobody's there. Like I figured, look to the left. Nobody's there. And then I look back over to the right, and all of a sudden I feel somebody tap me on the left shoulder. Turn to the left, nobody's there. Turn to the right, nobody's there. Turn back to the left, nobody's there. Tap again on the right shoulder, same thing, nobody. And I scooted.
You scooted?
I scooted.
Like so my pug on the carpet?
Yep. No. That's a different kind of scoot. That's a scrape.
It's a scrape.
It's more of a scrape. But yeah, no, I got out of there, man. It freaked me out. Like, you know, and I don't know whether we've talked about it on the podcast or on the radio show, but I've definitely had some sightings in the Bardstown Theater.
Well, the Bardstown has been confirmed to be haunted even by the owner himself.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's many, many, many stories.
And our like 72 hours total that we spent there with the festival last year, we had a lot of interesting stuff happen.
I had a number of things happen, things like that. But yeah, but that one got me because, you know, because it kind of trickstery.
Well, and I also told you that the three is also can be identified as the mocking of the Trinity or a demonic mocking.
I'm right. And I don't want that to be a demon. I grew
you don't
up Catholic
have a choice
and they
if
still
it is.
Scare me. Well, I might because they might not be real. But I'm still freak out about it a little bit.
You're the most confusing, believable skeptic there is. It's like, listen, this thing is haunting me. It's not a demon, though, because they're not real, but I don't know if they're real. Now I'm going to do this research and read this book. Hey guys, welcome to Fearscape.
Just in case. Yeah, and I'm going to lay garlic everywhere. I'm going to pray to a god I'm not sure I believe in.
Do you consider yourself a practical skeptic at this point?
No, I don't even consider myself a skeptic.
Because it was a demon.
I'm only a skeptic when I'm super scared about it in real life.
To like tell yourself it's not real.
Yep. Yep. That's it. If something's grabbing me or whatever, I'm like, this isn't real. This is stupid. This has got to be air pushing really fast.
It's like after your birthday weekend in Chicago or your bachelor party weekend in Chicago, and you look at your bank account and you're like, no, this is not real. This is not real.
People were supposed to buy me drinks. This isn't real. So that's mine. Apparently, I had the mocking of the Trinity up in the Bardstown. What about you? Did you have anything this week?
Something does not like that we rearranged our bedroom.
Oh, you rearranged your bedroom?
Mm-hmm. We moved a couple things around. It's been the same way for like the 7 years
because
you
put your TV on the ceiling.
It's still on the ceiling, but we put a bigger TV. So actually, I think it's the smaller TV on the ceiling, I think, is jealous of the bigger TV you put in the corner.
Wait, so you got two TVs in there now?
Yeah.
Oh, man. They're starving people in China don't have TVs.
Well, it was an extra TV. You know, first world problems. What am I going to do with this extra TV? Just chilling here.
Give it to your friend Ed.
Ed already asked him, and he said that he doesn't eat TVs.
No, he doesn't eat them?
TV dinners, though, are amazing.
They're amazing.
Banquet, and not a sponsor.
The
first night we moved everything around, I was laying in bed watching the newly put up TV, and so what we had to do this was we had to move a dresser like to the other side of the room, move a shelf and stuff like that, so we had to pretty much mess with the feng shui, and this is something interesting I'll add at the end here. That was attached to the mirror that we had to move as well. So that night...
Also on the ceiling?
No, the mirror's not on the ceiling. We ain't that kind of couple. We got to keep this PG for the radio.
No, we are not.
We are not that couple. We are not. Stephen. Me and Ed, though, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, there's actually a mirror up above you two right now.
Yeah, exactly. Whenever Ed and I are in the same room, we always put a mirror above us because greatness must shine from above and below.
Get out of here. Let's finish your stupid story.
So we moved everything around. It's about 9:30 at night. We're laying in bed. I'm watching like some comedy videos and stuff, working on my stand-up routines. And I hear like this rattling in the closet. Now, me, because I know how my animals are, I thought it was my cat.
Okay, she likes what kind of rattling? Like a rattlesnake rattle, a box rattle, a baby rattle, like change rattling, or just...
Like an Elvis shake rattle type row?
A roll?
Yeah. It just was like a... It was in patterns of three.
Oh, okay. So then that was more techno.
Yeah, it was a techno rattle coming from my closet, right? So I'm sitting here. I'm fully expecting opening up and seeing my cat with like glow sticks on X.
Of course.
Just going crazy. I was really looking forward to that. Well, open the closet. There's nothing in there except shoes. I'm like, okay, that was weird. I'm just going to ignore this for now because nothing's happened in a while. Go lay back down in bed and now hear it in the living room.
Same exact noise?
Same noise.
Nope, get out.
But this one sounded like it was coming off the blinds or something. So I'm like, all right, the cat is messing with the blinds. So I get up, I walk in the hallway, there's the cat sitting in front of my bathroom door. And I'm like, she's quick. How'd she get there so quick?
She ain't that quick.
So I walked into the living room and the curtains were moving back and forth. Or the blinds, I guess you would say, whatever the heavy thing is. The blinds move back and forth. I'm like, all right, something's going on. So I go and I lay back in bed and I turn off the TV and I'm just listening at this point, just waiting to hear the next thing so I can try to track down where it is, what it is, talk to it, whatever I have to do. And this time I hear it from behind the mirror. So I get up, I go to the mirror, and I realize that we forgot to hang our dream catcher back up. Mm. So I hung the dream catcher back up. All the sound stopped. We've been good since. It's been about 4 days since that. Nothing else happened since.
That's a good dream catcher then.
Yeah, because the second I took it down, I was thinking, I thought there was like some kind of legend on these. Like, you should keep them where they are. You shouldn't mess with them. I'll just put it down while we're moving stuff around. Then I forgot to put it back up. But now it's up. It's in its place. No more techno rattles coming from any part of my house. The cat is not on LSD or ecstasy, and she
anymore.
Does not look like Aleister Crowley. So we're good from there.
Aleister Catley.
Aleister
All right.
Catley.
Well, thank you for your creepy catch up. Let's go ahead and move right into spooky news. So, sad news for spooky news.
Oh, I already know where you're going with this, and it makes me depressed. Do we have to talk about
this? Yeah, we do.
Hold on. It's like the, if you just close your eyes and pretend it isn't there, then it's not there, right?
No, this is legit. So
it really happened.
A few days ago, probably about a week when this airs, but we lost Lorraine Warren.
Mm-hmm.
She was 92 years old. She lived a long life. She lived a very long life. She was the inspiration for The Conjuring, and her husband, Ed, were probably...
Not Ed Black.
Yeah, no, not Ed Black. Sorry, Ed.
He wishes.
Ed Warren. They were once the world's most famous paranormal investigators, and although their work didn't exactly fade away from the public eye, James Wan's film, The Conjuring, launched their legacy into pop culture stardom.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Warren passed away in 2006 before The Conjuring was even released. So we've now learned that Lorraine Warren sadly passed away at age 92. It was her grandchild that broke the news.
Yeah.
Her grandchild said, "Last night, my grandmother, Lorraine Warren, quietly and peacefully left us to join her beloved Ed. She was happy and laughing until the very end. She was my angel and hero, and she will be deeply missed. Please join us in celebrating her life and honoring her beautiful soul. Remember to treasure those you love while you can. Thank you, and God bless you all."
I wonder if she's going to now, like, possess the Annabelle doll.
Right. That
she's like, ha-ha, ha-ha, I can finally win this battle. I'll possess the doll.
But it's pretty sad. I mean, they put paranormal investigations on the forefront and mm-hmm. made them as popular as they have now become.
Yeah.
Even before that, I mean, they are, you know, famously known for the Amityville case and so many other cases.
And I've read several of their case studies.
Same. Like, yeah, in the research I've been doing. I've read a number of their books, and
I love Ed.
Yeah.
Warren and Ed Black sometimes. But like, just, he is so, like, there's one book I was reading where they had brought in like this apprentice demonologist into an investigation of a haunted basement.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, this apprentice went down in the basement, spent an hour down there, something happened. The apprentice comes back up. He's like white as a ghost. He's freaking out. He's ready to quit. Ed just fixes him a cup of hot chocolate, sits him in front of it, and says, "Now, if you want to stay and you want to fight the darkness, enjoy this hot chocolate, go back down there and do your job. But if you don't, I won't think of you any less. Enjoy that hot chocolate anyway." And the guy was like, "Yeah, I think I'm done."
Yeah, Ed was really interesting because, you know, he was... I don't know if this has changed.
Lorraine,
but
was a medium, wasn't she?
Kind of. It's more kind of dramatized in the movies than in real life. But yes, she was. But
I know, the books are pretty hardcore.
They are, but the movies really take it a step further. But, you know, Ed was one of the few, if not only, people ever sanctioned by the Catholic Church to do mm-hmm. exorcisms that was not clergy.
Yeah. That's a very, very rare... I don't know. I guess a very rare title to be donned upon mm-hmm. a quote-unquote mere mortal.
Especially in a time where exorcisms are rarely done anymore either. Like, it's got to be a big deal.
Yeah, we just use apps.
Yeah. The exorcism. I bet you there's one out there that has that just recites the rites of exorcism in Latin. Man, I'll be looking that up. But yeah, so that's spooky news. So, you know, rest in peace, Lorraine Warren. Like I said, though, you lived a long life. I hope your kids carry on. I'm just curious who's in charge of the locked room now with all the stuff. The
museum. Her grandson has been forever.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool. All right. But yeah, so thank you, guys. That has been Spooky News.
The way you said thank you, I thought we were just ending the episode right there. Not even bringing Ed on.
No!
20-minute Fearscape FM.
No.
We said the word Ed.
We did, and Ed is here, so let's get crack-a-lackin'. I ain't said crack-a-lackin' in a while.
There's a reason.
Let's get crack-a-lackin'. We've got Mr. Ed Blake.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Ed, we've been wanting you on for a while. We actually had you on our old podcast that had nothing to do about paranormal stuff.
Or anything really in general.
Or anything in general. But this is the first time we've been able to have you on, and we are so grateful because you are a lover of the haunted, the paranormal, and the spooky-ooky.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I mean, that's the reason that I got you guys here on WCHQ, because I'm such a fan of the paranormal, the
that's
unknown,
right.
the unexplainable.
It's... Well, give everybody a quick synopsis of who you are and what you do.
I am a 41-year-old white male
from
here in Louisville, Kentucky.
Not your mugshot, man.
Swipe
and,
right.
And I have been a stand-up comic in the city since, 2001, I think, and I have been a DJ... here at WCHQ, including my tenure now as program director since 2012.
Lights, camera, action, Ed.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. I was going to ask you how long you've been WCHQ.
I started out 2012 as show host. You remember Blacklisted Comedy?
Was on there a couple times.
Yeah, that was my show with Tony King, and we lasted about 5 years before I decided to hang it up. And ever since then, I've been DJing here on the station, and I currently run Lunch Break Live Monday through Thursday.
That's one of my favorite shows. I listen almost every day, and I've actually got my roommate Paul listening every day now.
Nice.
Because he kept seeing me share it, and he was like, well, he's usually like walking home from work or whatever, so he just pops on his headphones, and he's literally been listening to it. Like every day.
It's hard to take a lot of things you share seriously because you share so much.
I know.
But at least Paul caught Lunch Break Live with
it. Well, Paul has like 12 friends on Facebook, and so they're...
And they're all your different
profiles.
Pretty
much just... I don't have more... Okay, I do have one.
Well,
not personal profiles.
Well, can I say, Paul, thank you for listening. I appreciate the support.
Paul, you demand.
Yeah, so he has definitely become enamored with local music.
Nice.
You know, it's interesting. It's like the universe brought this all full circle, because I met Ed through you, Stefan, when we started doing the first integration of what is now Sidetracked Improv.
Right.
I met Ed through that when we did the festival last year and all that. And then Ed is the one that got me into stand-up, who was like, hey, you know, yes, it's hard to get into, but here's the door, walk through it, see what happens. And then, you know, he got me into stand-up, and then he gets, and then the paranormal brings us to him again, and now we're in the studio, and on the WCHQ app, you can listen to all the playbacks all the time, download now.
All local, all the time.
Wow, that's some real circular reasoning you got going on there.
You should see me on stage.
But again, very, very happy to hear that you are pursuing stand-up along with doing improv.
Thank you for allowing me to see that it is possible for a 6'4" ginger with blue eyes to get on stage and get laughed at for what he says and not how he looks.
Well, time is going to tell on that one.
So I want to get right into the paranormal stuff because that's why we're here.
Yeah,
I know you have a number of ghost stories, and we'll be getting to those. But what I want to know is, you've listened to our show enough to know that both of us have experienced paranormal stuff from an early age.
Yeah. Who's your favorite host is what he's trying to ask.
No, that's not what I'm going to ask. I already know it's me. And what I wanted to know is how far back does it go for you?
It actually goes back to childhood with me, because I would always hear footsteps outside my bedroom at like 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. And that they'll tell you that's when paranormal activity is at its highest.
Yeah, around 3 a.m.
Yeah, it's when the veil between the two realities is at its thinnest.
Yep.
It's something that I haven't been able to completely convince my parents of, but I swear it's in that
so
house.
So they're like, nah, bruh.
Yeah. Are they still in that house, that same house?
They are still in the same house.
Now, have you stayed there and had that happen again since you've been an adult?
I mean, you know, well, the last time I lived there as an adult was, okay, I didn't move out till I was 26.
But, no, that's okay, baby. That's okay.
But I still heard it.
Wow.
Now, this house goes back a ways. I mean,
that's what I was going to ask next.
Yeah, this is a family house that was passed down from generation to generation. So
go back your family from generation to generation?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it's all the way back from your family. Huh?
Is it like a built by your family type deal?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
Yes,
okay.
Is.
That's
yeah.
even better. So tons wow. of ancestors.
My father has actually increased the value of the house because of the additions that he's put onto it and all the improvements on the house. Over the last 30, 40 years, something like that.
It's now a $4 million house.
I'd say
they had $12, a nickel, and a bag of lint.
It's a nice house, but he's put on a lot of additions to it, but he has increased the value of the land. So.
Well, that's
awesome.
Pretty cool, man. So footsteps, was that about the only thing that ever happened to you when you were younger? What else
I mean,
happened?
That's that there was also, I have never been able to really explain this. Just because when I was a kid, I would see like a pair of like, would look like dog legs, like walking across the hallway upstairs, like going from one room to another.
Hmm.
And we had dogs in the house, but I would call for the dog, and she would come running out from like the family room.
Interesting. So dog legs, four sets of four or a set of two?
Like, you know, like four.
Okay, yeah, hellhounds.
So, you know, like legs of dogs.
That scared me so bad as a kid, and I told my mother about that, but she, you know, it's that thing of, of, oh, you're just a kid, you know, your eyes are playing tricks on you.
Ugh.
But I could have sworn, I mean, you know, combined with hearing footsteps outside mm-hmm. your room at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, I mean, there's something going on upstairs in that house. And yeah, I know absolutely. That there is.
Now, since this was your family's home, dating back from the OG, has anyone died in that house?
That's something I've never researched. I don't know if I even want to go there.
How many generations does it go back? Do you know when it was built?
My great-great-grandmother.
Oh, so yeah, it goes back a ways.
It was her house. She is actually Mary Heavenhill, who is the founder of Heavenhill Distillery.
No.
Wait, what?
No.
You're related to the cheapo liquor people?
They are not cheapo liquor people anymore.
Well,
Heavenhill Distillery now is like a world-renowned distillery. They make Jack Daniels. They make everything.
Except here's the problem with that, which is,
crap.
Yeah, the family business years ago.
You didn't get any stock in it.
We have no stock in it whatsoever.
Oh, man.
My great-great-grandmother sold this to a pair of Jewish gentlemen. Yeah, they bought out the company, and since then, we don't actually...
Well, she needed to build a house, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have any family ownership of that, that distillery.
No, house. That's very... it's similar but dissimilar to
Well, you just popped me. Like, you're famous to me now.
My uncle, my great-uncle, who, until the day he died, swore he created pontoon boats. And sold the idea to a guy in a bar for $150 and a beer. To the day he died, swears. My dad, so of course my dad swears, but no, it's true. It's true.
And I'm like, sold him the idea.
I believe it. Sure. So, but yeah, no, that's crazy. I never knew that about you.
And then there's also when I was coming up in our late teens in high school, we studied Wicca.
Yeah, yeah.
We were Wiccans at one
Ooh-hoo,
point.
I'm still Wicca.
And I have this on like an old videotape. I have not been able to find it. We're in Murray, Kentucky, and we're actually holding like a Wiccan ritual like out in a field. Mind you, we are miles away from anywhere, you know, no planes flying overhead. Mm-hmm. But there is an acknowledgement during the video, and there is evidence of this in the video. There's one person who says, there's an entity that has joined us. Please feel free to come join our circle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at the video and I see like this shady figure who begins to appear
yes.
between my friend and this other person. And there's some sound. Like I said, we're out in the middle of the field.
I'd love to see that video.
We're out in the middle of the field, miles away from anything.
Right.
No planes overhead, no nothing. There's a sound. And I can't explain what the sound is, but it drowns out everybody in the tape.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was as soon as she acknowledges there's an entity here that's joined us.
Was it kind of like a, because I've experienced this sound before, and let me know if this is close. I'm going to sound like a guy trying to explain what's wrong with my car. Like type of thing.
No, that just sounds like a car.
Okay.
Does it sound like wiki 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 bonk bonk bonk? Who's out? Who's out?
Well, because in a lot of videos,
that would be the worst DJ in the world.
when apparitions start appearing, you get like this odd static sound that drowns out everything.
You
it
could
doesn't
say
really
that.
Have a sound.
Yeah, you've always
but you don't
talked
hear
about
nothing.
The static.
Now you could say it has a staticky sound to it. I mean, it drowns out every. You can't mm-hmm. hear anybody.
It's like
on
a white noise
whatsoever.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and as Wiccan myself, I mean, obviously, if you guys did the circle right, it could have only been a good entity, so
I should hope so.
Yeah, because they shouldn't be allowed in the circle, so
and
bad. But
and,
that's really cool
and then creepy. There's the, and then there's a point maybe I'm gonna say 15 minutes later that the noise goes away, and then that person says the entity has left us.
I love that you guys videotaped it, though.
Like, I have.
I've been
videotaped it. I don't know where the video is, but
I've been
Wiccan
for 20 years, and I have never thought to, like, videotape anything.
I wonder if the ghost in your parents' house is, like, holding it hostage. It's like, you cannot see me.
No, it's just his mom. Just close your eyes. It's not real.
It's not real.
I've basically convinced myself that's maybe... great-great-grandmother checking in on the grandkids.
Sure. That, okay. Especially in a home that's filled with your ancestors. Absolutely. Especially if you never felt anything malevolent.
Like, no, it's never been anything like that. It's just, you know, whatever you see in movies tends to influence you, you know,
cause, for sure. Because
I was one of those kids that would, you know, stay out late at night, but you're watching, like, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street movies with your buddies and all that. So you try to walk into the house as inconspicuously as possible.
Yeah.
But then you're walking in through the basement of your house, which sort of looks like Freddy's boiler room.
Yep.
And in a fern, and you run right into it, right into a fern. And you freak out.
Ooh,
that was you're welcome. That was my basement, man. My basement had one of those. It was built in like the early 20s, and so it had one of those big octopus furnaces with like big arms that just stretched everywhere. And it was frightening, dude. Like, I hated going down in the basement because it'd be like, you know, and you're like, I don't want to go down there. And the basement did it. You know, it was just wet.
Maybe you paranormal guys would know. Why is it? It's the basement and the attic of a house that we fear the most.
Because
what is that?
Those are the places that if an entity or a serial killer follows you, you stuck.
Oh, okay. It's
think
all
about it, because there's no exit in a basement. There's no exit in an attic unless you jump out the window.
Right. I mean, only
if there's
only one way in, one way out.
Yeah, that would be the, in my opinion, the biggest reason.
So it's basically our fear of just being cornered, and not being able to get
out. And the other
out.
Thing is that usually a basement and the attic are usually the two areas that get used the least, and so it's usually filled with old things. It's usually storage areas.
And those old things are kind of creepy.
Yeah, and you're not putting good lighting there. Like, it's usually like one hanging bulb, you know, or like a lamp over in the corner or something. It's usually pretty not well lit very well. Like, it's just like shadows everywhere.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. We covered this. Excuse me. We covered this on the podcast before, where we were talking about night hags and stuff like that. And it's this evolutionary trait we've yet to get rid of. It's a fear of the dark. We don't know why we fear it so much, but there's some kind of evolutionary trait from our ancestors that has not been weaned out yet.
There was actually a really cool documentary that was on History Channel years ago, and it was simply called, like, Fear of the Dark.
I like how it pointed to my brain stem when I was saying that. Like, it's in there.
Nice.
Get rid of it.
But yeah, they spent, like, it was like a six episode miniseries that really dove into that, our fear of the dark.
Yeah, mine was from a book. That's where I heard it from, was a book.
It is very interesting. I mean, and the dark is scary because we can't see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't trust our hearing because everything just sounds scary.
I don't know if I've necessarily ever been afraid of the dark. I'm just more afraid of things that might be in the dark.
Well, tomato.
I'm not afraid of the dark most times, but when I go into places to where I can feel the energy, like when my first ever paranormal investigation I did for Baxter Avenue Morgue, like, I had no issue going into the dark. It was once I sat down in the dark and, like, felt the atmosphere change and started feeling, like, the touches and stuff like that.
Gosh.
That's when I was like, I can't see what's going on. I don't like this.
Yeah.
That's when the dark scares me. But most time, like, my house.
But I get that even when a room is well lit, though. I mean,
I get it in here all the time in the studio. Like, well, we were recording.
Yeah, but the thing is
we
is
all
that,
get it upstairs.
Yes, we heard
that.
That
sounds really
before.
Bad, by the way.
We all get
it upstairs.
We do. When you don't get the right ratings, you get it upstairs.
You get flogged. But no, I'm not afraid of the dark as much as I'm afraid of the Dark Lord. He's not real. Thank you. but no, I think in the light, even though we may feel those things, you know, we see that nothing's there, so we can play it off, right?
Yeah.
Because we can play it off that, oh, it's wind, it's a bug, it's something. But in the dark, you're like, that could be anything. My imagination is running wild right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see, the thing is, I mean, you know where I work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is like a huge, massive hulk of a building.
Yes, it is.
And gentlemen, I can tell you right now, sitting here with 100% certainty, all my years that I've been there, nothing. There's absolutely nothing there because I have been through every single building of the place, lights on, lights off. I don't feel it. I can usually feel when there's some presence near me, and there's just been all of my years there, nothing.
He's got to be more afraid of the neighborhood.
Well, I mean that entire place is like devoid of all hope and dreams. Yeah. You ain't gonna feel nothing there.
I just told my wife, I was like, we got to go see Ed. I ain't been out there in a while.
I'm talking about a place down on 7th Street, which is thought to be the oasis of entertainment out there. So, yes, is
Oh, so, yes, man.
I mean, you're right. I mean, it's easier to be more afraid of the neighborhood. But actually, there's nothing really in the neighborhood either.
Yeah.
I used to live over there.
That is so. The craziest thing to me was just a few weeks ago when, okay, there was that shooting that was at the Kroger store on Hurstbourne Lane. And then, like, a week later, there was a shooting, like, right up by my parents' house. There, you know, the guy who was shot in the parking lot of Meijer. They live right down the street from there. And I was just like, how crazy is this? I work down on 7th Street, which is supposed to be where all this stuff is happening.
Yeah.
And it's all happening, like, up by my parents' house. I'm like, this is nuts.
Yep.
Just like the paranormal, you cannot predict crime.
It's just so crazy.
So something else I wanted to talk about is your experience working haunts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you've worked over the years, I know, a few haunts, some places.
Actually, I haven't worked as many as you think, but I'll tell you about my experience.
Yeah, I definitely remember one for sure, the train one. I remember.
Oh, that was a great experience.
You know, but you love haunts, too. That's the other point I was going to get. Just as much as I do. Brad and I, we've never been to one together, so I don't know how you feel about them. But
I'd rather actually go to, like, a haunted location.
Yeah, see, I love getting scared, so I'm like, I absolutely love them.
But the haunts are so great.
Yeah.
There aren't that many good ones around anymore.
Yes, there are.
You are wrong about that, sir.
Yeah, you ain't been around in a while.
They haven't gotten me.
Man.
I went to one last year, and I was like,
the Popelick one is awesome, man.
Which one did you go to last year?
Field of Screams.
No, don't go to that.
Yeah, Field of Screams is old.
So, see, there are some bad ones.
We didn't say there wasn't any bad ones. You just said there weren't any good ones. We said, yes, there are some good ones.
It's just that you didn't go to one of the good ones.
Yeah.
So we can tell you right now which ones are the good ones.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, go ahead.
I highly recommend the Goatman Popelick one. That one, man, whoo, it's good. It's good.
It would be out of character for me to not recommend the Devil's Attic.
Yeah, Devil's Attic. That was one of the old school ones for me, man. We had them sponsoring the DNN one last year, too.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, the Devil's Attic is located on West Hill Street. It's actually right down the road from where I work. And Todd Merriman, of course, a buddy of mine, also a stand-up. He has worked out at the Devil's Attic. In fact, he is the devil himself.
And he has been there years, man. It's been a while.
Isn't there like some kind of like coffin aspect to it? Where you have to get in a coffin or something?
No, I think you're thinking of another one.
I think at the old Culberson Mansion one, the one where you
They did do that at the one that was at the movie theater in Clarksville.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
You're thinking of that one.
I've done the coffin thing before, but it was up in Indiana. That's all I remember. Mm. That was years ago.
Yeah, but the haunts, I mean, if you find the right one, I mean, they can be a lot of fun. Except I'm not the person that you really want to scare in the haunts because I don't scare that easy, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're saying you don't want them to try to scare you, right?
No, here's the problem is that I tend to go in there with the stand-up comic, you know, frame of mind. And I know all these people are actors. I know they're trying to get a rise up out of you. And they really hate seeing me come through because I went through the Baxter Avenue. This was the funniest story. I went through the Baxter Avenue morgue. Now, they have the guy in there who was like the coffin salesman guy. I'd actually like stood there and haggled with him for a few minutes. and all the while, everybody behind me is like, hey, they're holding up the line. I'm like, hey, I'm haggling over here.
No, hold on. I want the plush option, but I want it at the satin price. Give me a second.
I'm trying to make a deal. Would you all be patient? So... Now, the people that, but, you know, having worked a haunt, the people that you love, the groups of girls that come through.
Oh, yeah.
The ones who you hear screaming their heads off before they ever get to you,
mm-hmm.
those are the fun ones. Those are the ones who really want the scare. So,
see, I get it because I'm a big guy, and they immediately think that I'm, like, big and, like, macho, which I'm not, but they immediately think I am, so it's their goal to get, you know, to get me.
Get the teddy
well,
bear.
Well, look, I just saw you, and I'm already got. Like, I'm telling you, man, I put my roommate Paul behind me, my little brother Dustin, who's like half my size, in front of me. I have to be in the middle. I don't want nobody touching me or coming up behind me. Paul's checking up the back flank, and I know it's all fake. I'm an actor. I've had friends that'd do it. I don't care. I'm there to be scared. So I
don't
put
care.
Myself,
I'm there to be scared. Put it on a t-shirt.
I put myself in that mode because I'm there. I want to be scared, you know? And,
dude,
and I
Fear Escape t-shirt.
Yes. Our favorite thing that we have done, we have one friend, her name is Lisa. Lisa goes with us to every haunt every single year, and she is most afraid of the chainsaw guys.
Oh, they're the one thing that don't bother me.
Oh, they bother her. They bother her a great deal. Now, at the haunted hotel, there's not just one, there's not two,
yeah.
There's like four of
them. I've been there, yeah.
They have actually pushed us out of the way because mm-hmm. we're just strolling along.
Well, yeah,
and Lisa is like, you know, 500 yards ahead of us running and screaming. So they're pushing us out of the way to get to her.
See, the ones that
and I think one, we actually tipped a guy and he like had her like down on the ground in the fetal position at the Field of Screams. And that was,
see,
that
the
was
ones,
pretty funny.
The ones that bother me the most are the ones that are outdoors mm-hmm. because those are the one that anybody could show up at any time pretending to be somebody. Like
which one's the one out at Otter Creek? That's not Field of Screams.
That would be. I think that is Field of Screams, actually.
No,
because Field
wasn't.
Of Screams is the one that's out.
It's in a cornfield.
Off of.
But the one I'm talking about is like at a campground.
Nightmare Forest.
Nightmare Forest. That's what it is. Because, yeah, Field of Screams is the one that's right off Gene Snyder
mm-hmm.
right there. But, yeah, like those ones that are outdoors, they freak me out the most.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like, when I'm inside a house, I feel like security's tight.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, anybody could sneak up, and I don't trust anybody, and that makes it like super more scary for me. And when we went to the Poplick one, actually, you have to walk down this big long kind of like I don't know, horse trail before you get around to this farm to get in there. And then the line hits, and then we're waiting in line, and this whole time there's like this clown with a knife following us, right? But I mean, he's at a good distance. And either the people at the thing were doing a very good job or they were super freaked out because she was just like, because we were like, man, that guy is weird. She's like, what guy? We're like, that guy. And she's like, I don't know who that is. And then she like reaches over and she's like, hey, Mike, we don't have anybody dressed like a clown, do we? And he's like, no, this is the Poplick monster one. There's no clowns. And she's like, would you mind calling security? Right? And so, like, but she does it off the side, and, like, me and my friends are like, we're gonna die.
What? Yeah,
we're
but you see, that's great, too, because that might actually be a setup in itself.
I know, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, and I don't know. And then, literally, at one point, we turn around, dude's gone.
Yeah.
Right? And we're just like,
he was security.
This was like a good 25 minutes, like, with this guy before we even got into the actual area you walk through, was just here. But I mean, he was a good half a block down from us, so it's just this like, oh, it was so creepy, dude. And then she looked like she was legit scared. I mean, some high school kid that mm-hmm. didn't sound like she was trying to act, you yeah. know, like, so we were pretty freaked out because I was already in the car like, this is what I'm scared of outdoor ones for.
but as an actor yourself, you know that the best actors are the ones who come off as if they're not acting.
Oh yeah. So, still, I mean, I don't trust anybody.
She might have gotten you.
I don't trust anybody. I've seen too many horror movies, man.
But I mean, how come that has never been made into like a screenplay? That I mean, that's, I always thought that would make an awesome story.
There
of like,
is,
you know, serial killer, you know, sneaks into a haunted house.
Well, there is
starts doing away with
there
a bunch
is
of
a
stupid
movie
kids.
And I think it's called Hell House. Have you seen Hell House? Yeah. It's called like Hell House LLC.
Yeah. I don't think I've
watched
it. Can I look it up?
Yes.
I'm going to.
There's a sequel to it too, but I haven't watched it yet. But it's found footage, but it's about these guys, this group of people that put together haunts, and they go to different towns. And they like to find places that are known to be haunted and then create a haunt around it.
Oh, okay.
And then this place actually ends up haunted. People end up dying and like all kinds of crazy stuff. It's awesome.
Like, I'm going to look that up.
Yeah. It was this thing that my wife and I, we were just kind of hanging out. And so I just kind of put it on in the background while like I was working on some stuff. She was working on some stuff. And so, but we both like 20 minutes in had our work put away and we were watching this movie because I just thought it was going to be a crappy B movie, but man, it's good. Yeah. Hell House LLC. And like I said, there's a sequel to it. I have not watched it yet, so I have no clue what it's about. But it won a ton of like Sundance Awards and things like that years ago. But it's a found footage type thing. But it's really good. And it got me. It got me good. It gave me the heebie-jeebies.
Well, I am definitely going to look that up because I always thought that that would make a great screenplay.
Yeah. So I don't know how much of like serial killer as much as like, you know, evil entities, you know, killing people. But still, it's the same idea. Like it's...
Well, I mean, it's the same thought that I've had about, you know, the people over here on Hillcrest Avenue during Halloween, they set up their lawns elaborately decorated. But there's always like that one neighbor who has the setup with like the serial killers, like Freddy, Michael Myers, Jason, like full size mannequins in his yard. And that's just one of those things I would pass by and see him just like. How do you know there's not a serial killer who's just like standing there? Who's just standing there with like a mask on and just like waiting.
He's been waiting his entire life for this moment. I mean, you have given it to him.
That's the entire plot of Friday the 13th Part 5.
You see, I lost all fear of it was Michael Myers is the one I lost all fear of when I did the Nightmare Forest, and we were about halfway through, and it actually had freaked me out a couple times, and then I hear that like they start playing music and all that, and I see like the Michael Myers come out from in the bushes and stuff, and I'm like, oh, it's like a tall guy they had for it too, and he tripped on a stick and he fell.
Oh, that kind of ruins the illusion.
About 10 feet from me, so I walk over, he stands up, kind of have a moment looking at each other. I'm just like, we go this way. He's like, yeah, you go that way.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I've seen them break before too, but you know, the thing is like, I don't want famous scares. Like, I don't want those because I already know those are fictional. I want these things that I've never seen before. That's why I like the Goatman one so much, because it's all this like evil demonic goat imagery and it's creepy and like just crazy.
But it's also so great because they actually take something that is a legend that exists here, and then they make make a theme around it.
Yeah, I've never been to Waverly's, so I don't know what Waverly's is like, but
yeah.
Okay.
I've been to Waverly like twice, and to be honest with you, I prefer the tours.
Right, than the haunted
house. Same.
I prefer the tours because the tour guides are pretty honest with you when you first start off. They tell you, look, at this place, we're not controlling anything here. It's like there are no fog lights, there are no machines, there's no mannequins. It's like, this place is actually haunted. If this place decides that it wants to put on a show for you guys tonight, it's going to.
Which it's done for me before, and it was awesome.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
And in fact, I mean, one of the tours, I mean, there was, like, you know, some stuff going on.
That's what I was
going
to ask. So, like, let's move back into your stories.
Oh, this isn't a movie podcast. That's right.
No. So let's get back and talk about some more of your scary stories, things that have happened to you paranormal-wise.
Okay, well, first of all, let's get into the thing about Waverly.
Okay.
Just because I have a packet of photos that I have taken from tours on Waverly Hills, and several images pop up in these photos I can't explain because they weren't there when I was taking the photo. I've had to go back.
It's a creeper, man.
I have had to go back to negatives and had to look at them closely.
Yeah.
And everything I suspect about these, it's pretty much true. I mean, you know, I remember taking a photo from like an adjoining window, like across the way, and you get the photo back, and there's a very obvious silhouette of a man who's standing in the window, staring back at me. And I had to go again. I went back to the negative to make sure this wasn't just my imagination. And there's a a figure.
Was this one of those glassless windows?
I guess so. I mean, this is back before they started working.
Definitely glassless then.
Yeah, before they started doing it, before they decided to make it into a hotel or whatever. Why do that?
Hey, I kind of like the idea.
Because I need a 5-star place to stay that the ghost will tuck me in at night.
Anyway,
I have a ghostly hand that is in one of the photos, and there's like a mist around it. And that's, I mean, it literally looks like that, the way I'm pointing my finger right now.
Yeah, it's kind of pointing in one direction.
Yeah, and there's like a ghostly mist around it. And I have a picture of like an orderly who's looking at like a basement window. I mean, it's, you know, weird stuff popped up in these photos.
What kind of camera did you use? Because that's actually kind of important too.
Oh God, years ago, man, I have no idea what kind of camera.
Well, was it just like it was like you had to go get the film developed?
Oh yeah, cool. One of those. Yeah,
because stuff shows up in those a lot more than it does like in the digitals and stuff.
I mean,
like,
you
that.
Know, orbs everywhere. Of course, that's one thing I could tell you is that there's one picture, interior room, and there's just orbs like surrounding the place, just all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, got a whole packet of these photos. Just,
I need
things
to see
pop up in them. And, yeah, I mean, it's creepy, creepy stuff. And, plus, I have an EVP.
Ooh.
I had an EVP.
Oh, electronic voice phenomenon.
Yes,
got it.
I had an EVP that I actually got from Waverly Hills because I took a little sound recorder.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just kind of waving it around in rooms during the tour to see if I can pick up anything.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point in the tape, I do get a voice going, "Help." Kind of like a deep guttural help, like you
like
know,
someone's intestines are being ripped out.
No, more like something is attacking this person's lungs and they can't breathe.
That's what I mean.
And they're just kind of like stressing to get this out. Help!
That's creepy.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was somebody using the shot bag.
I hate the shot. Well, I don't hate it so much anymore. I hated the shot bag until I learned about it. Yeah. Shot bag's not so bad anymore.
And I think Rachel may have had some kind of a sixth sense about it too, just because she would go through Waverly Hills with me, and she would sort of like stop in places that we wouldn't even think anything of, but then tour guides would turn around and see where she's standing. She's like, oh, she's looking down the elevator shaft where the old homeless guy and his dog had died in the elevator. She's like, she had no knowledge of it, but she stopped right there and she was looking down that elevator shaft.
Jeez.
Interesting.
Yeah. So just certain things like that. Well, you know how my girlfriend looks, which I always say I fell in love with the girl from The Ring, and
I don't think I've ever met her.
She's kind of a small petite 80-pound white girl. You know, she's got the long black hair, kind of falls in front of her face, and you know she's the girl who in every horror movie who creeps up behind you and scares the bejesus out of you.
Does she have a white gown she wears to bed at night?
From the late 1800s,
that would actually complete like the whole thing.
And for some reason, the only way she can get to the bathroom at night is to spider crawl on the ceiling.
She's done that.
Yeah, well, she stopped doing that a couple of years ago.
Oh, that's good. It's about time.
She just crawled out of the TV one day, and she's been mine ever since.
7 days, more like 70 years, am I right?
Am I right, guys?
So, tell me, what do you think is your favorite scariest thing that has happened to you?
Favorite scariest?
Yeah.
What is your most favorite scariest thing?
Favorite scariest thing? I think it was when my sister used to put on the Thriller album, and that would pretty much like scare me away.
Paranormal.
Paranormal. I mean, you know, we experienced some things in high school while we're, you know, dabbling in Wicca. And I think that one instance of being out in the field and having that shadowy figure come up to us and, you know, drowning out all sound, all anything, and having that on videotape. That's my favorite.
That is. That's a good one. Now, you hear us talk a lot.
You know, I don't believe in anything unless I can see it, unless I can hear it. And when I have Like the EVP that I have from Waverly Hills, the videotape from this Wiccan ritual. If I can see it,
right,
it helps me to believe it.
Now, you hear us talk a lot about sleep paralysis and night hag.
Oh, gosh.
In fact, we just did a 2-part episode on the podcast about it. Have you experienced that?
I have experienced it once.
Once?
Just once. Hmm. Now, Rachel used to experience this all the time, but Rachel had never experienced the darker side of it. She's always...
She was the darker side of it.
I guess so, at that point. I mean, she
scares them off.
You gotta understand, is that I took a sad emo girl and made her into a happy homemaker.
Aww.
So, yeah, all of a sudden, Rose McGowan is Betty Crocker, you know? So. but she's happy, she's healthy, but she used to experience sleep paralysis all the time, but she more thought of it as like this really like trippy, cool, out of body experience, because she could see herself like walking through the house, and you know, she could see her body sleeping there in the bed and not able,
like the astral projection.
Kind of like astral projection. That's more like what it was. Now, as for me, I only experienced sleep paralysis once, and it was terrifying.
Yeah.
It was the most terrifying experience, because all I remember was waking up in the middle of the night, and I'm somewhere between dream and awake. And
yeah, we call it drape.
Yeah, you got drape. That drape on?
Yeah, I got the drape on. And I just see this black shadowy figure, like one of the Death Eaters out of Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's got these like bright green glowing
green. You got the green one. Green. We came across that a few times in the research, that green.
Yeah, green, blue, and red are pretty common.
Yeah, pretty interesting. Yeah,
so this had green eyes, and it was like, it kept coming towards me and toward me, and I couldn't move.
Yeah.
I couldn't even, you know, I wanted to yell, and I couldn't get this out. You know, yep. It was the like that drowned out EVP from Waverly Hills. I couldn't get it out. And finally, and for... I guess for some reason, I guess my sister being like our protector when we were young kids, she was always like, you know, our babysitter, our protector, the one who watched us all the time. I screamed out her name. I screamed out my sister's name, and this thing vanished and went away.
Now, how old were you when this happened?
Oh, this is just a couple of years ago.
Okay. And the Waverly Hill EVP of the Help, how long ago was that?
Now, that was maybe... I'm going to say about a decade ago.
Okay. Because I have this theory in terms of, like, dimensions that this is probably not true in the
He's
slightest.
He's got a theory. We should work it out.
But the moment that you try to scream help in your sleep paralysis, like, jumped back in time to that moment that you were doing your EVP session. So you were hearing yourself say help.
Creepy.
Into the future. Well.
That I would like to believe that, but it wasn't my voice.
I just watched the OA recently.
It's called Time Tunnel.
I get these ideas from the OA because it opened my ideas to a lot of that stuff. Like, everybody's connected.
Yep.
So you're saying it's a theory, like, you know, the crooked neck lady from The Haunting
is pretty much
is actually the sister, and she hung herself and just fell through all these different dimensions.
My theory and my belief on the paranormal and what we're experiencing is that what we perceive as reality is nothing more than just a series of thin curtains between what we see and what is going on, like, right next to us.
Y'all need to move up to them flame retardant curtains.
Between the things we see and the things we fear, there are doors.
Yeah, I think, why is it when we're in sleep paralysis we can experience these entities that we can't see in everyday life?
I don't know. I mean, you guys have done a lot more... You guys have done a lot more research on this topic than I have.
Yeah, like I said, we had to do 2 episodes on it because we couldn't fit it into one.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what did you all come to?
The thing I would tell you...
Why is this like a shared dimension?
I don't know, but here's the
humans.
Thing. It is. And it's across the world and through time. Mm-hmm. Like, and every culture has its own explanation for it. It is something that we as a species all have dealt with through time. and not shared. Like, it's not like, oh, well, you know, the English came into the United States and all of a sudden the Native Americans were now experiencing it. No, they had it too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like everyone already had these things. In fact, we talked about that's where the term nightmare comes from.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it came from sleep paralysis, like the entities that they see, you know.
It's crazy. I haven't dug deep enough yet. My time machine is still under construction. But once I can really jump back in time and see exactly what started this sleep paralysis, because you got to think, if we're all experiencing the same entity, the same kind of experience, there's something we're fearing that looks like these big shadowy figures.
Yeah, what, it's like usually what tribe all you can was see it that we came from eyes. That did that? Why is it that the eyes are the thing you can always see, or the occasional teeth? Like,
because the eyes are the tunnel to the soul, so therefore it's a tunnel into reality.
And as for this guy, I mean, you obviously live in a haunted house. You obviously live in one, but you're the guy who is not getting out of the house. The ghost is like, what is this guy not understanding?
I know. The ghost is like, get out, writes it on the wall. I'm like, he messed up my wall again.
Ghost. Well, he is the occasional ghost, like the lady in the white dress, but I think his is all aliens, man.
I think mine is elementals and aliens.
He's all hearing get out, and he's like, oh, it must be the wind. It's like, come on, man.
I just, they're joking with me again. I'm just gonna stay here and play my video game.
What's gonna happen is that your wife is gonna finally, definitively have something happen, and y'all are gonna move.
Well, she kind of already did when she's like, okay, well, as long as it's not hurting anybody.
How long is it going to take for you guys before this thing is going to start hurting something or somebody?
Here's the thing. We're pretty sure it's a protective spirit because of the incident I had about a month ago with the sleep paralysis where like a spirit like kind of saved me from this dark entity during a sleep paralysis episode. Like, this entity was like about to touch me, and I warped into this entire dream scenario. You can hear it on the podcast. It's kind of a long story, but at the end of this dream scenario where this dark entity was about to take me away again, this like white wolf spirit like came up and like kind of shooed the entity away and then like touched me and sent me back to my bed. And then I haven't had any like real sleep paralysis since then.
Yeah,
but what if it's a Freddy versus Jason sort of thing? And it's like,
well, the good
like
thing
he wants
is,
to get that out of the way so he can get to you.
I have a title bout up in the attic, and whoever wins gets it.
Yeah, we're down to the wire. So before we get out of here, Ed, I wanted to know if you had any other stories that you wanted to share real quick. If you had another story you wanted to share with us.
Oh gosh, let me see. Do I have it? I don't think I have any more.
What was the?
Oh wait a minute! You were asking about my involvement with a haunt.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, this one was called The Rails of Death.
Yeah, that's the one I remember.
And we did this back in 2012. It was just like a one time thing only because it wasn't that successful. But we created a really great backstory to it, which was,
I just remember by the end of it your voice was bleeding.
Oh my gosh! Like, because when you're trying to scare people, you're yelling at the top of your lungs for like, you know, 3, 4, 5 hours, whatever, and yeah, your voice will go after a little while.
Sounds like a normal conversation with Stefan.
But we created this really great backstory because it was actually like located just off a train track, and we said Halloween 1950. There's a train that is leaving Clarksville and going to
say it's the last train going to Clarksville.
It's actually going from New York through Clarksville to wherever it was heading to. And we said that this train had derailed on Halloween night, 1950, and that everybody on the train perished. But there were some spirits from that train that still remained. In fact, one of them might have been a serial killer that had stowed away on the train.
Goat Man.
And that was where we began our legend for the haunt. It was mainly based around this serial killer who was amongst the dead.
So it was a true storytelling.
It was a true storytelling on a fictional story. But
what I mean, instead of a haunt where you're just like walking through like, a room with chainsaws, this was like a here's the story.
Yeah, because
those are the ones I like.
Yeah, because we were always fans of like, you know, the haunts that have some kind of story behind it, not just, you know, putting putting Jason or Freddy in a haunt. We just wanted to do something that actually had like a true-ish sounding story behind it. And we had,
yeah, and I know I'm kicking a dead horse here, but that's why I like the Popelick one, because they run you through like all the legends we've talked about in the episodes. They kind of hit on those, the circus Wrangler and all kinds of different stuff, the farmer, the satanic rituals. You see it all. It's crazy.
No,
yeah. So, like I said, I mean, this only lasted for, one season. It wasn't that successful, but God, we had a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah,
we had a lot. And like I said, when you hear those screams from the girls who are coming down, oh, those are the ones that you want to antagonize the most.
Yep. Well, where was that located? I know it was in Clarksville, but where was it at?
Gosh, I can't. Grantline Road, I
Grant
think.
Grantline, okay, yeah.
I think.
I live in Clarksville now, so I'm always like, where is stuff? Where was that? but yeah, so thank you so much for coming on, man.
My pleasure. I love being
before
here.
Before we get out of here, tell people where they can find you, man.
I am right here at WCHQ 100.9 FM. I run Lunch Break Live Monday through Thursday from 11 a.m. till 1. You can tune us in either on the FM dial, online at WCHQFM.com. I'll be also do stream live on Facebook while we're on the air. And there's also the downloadable WCHQ app, which you can download directly to your smartphone or mobile devices and stream us live from there. I'm also on Facebook. I go by Ed Joe Snyder there just because I have a lot of friends from back in the day who just knew me by that name, so they can find me. They can find me there. But yeah, I'm not on Twitter. I'm not on the Instagrams. No. I don't do any of that. I'm just very vanilla Facebook, and that's it.
That's right.
You got any stand up coming up you want to plug?
No.
Okay.
No, I got. Let me see. I am going to be involved in the Tim Northern Comedy Festival, which is going to be kicking off, I believe, in September. And I don't know any of the venues or details about those shows yet, but yeah, Tim Northern Comedy Festival, and I believe you can look that up online. Just Google it, and it'll come up.
So. Dope. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, boys.
For those of you listening in, where can they find us?
Oh, you can find us on the Facebooks, the Twitters, and the Instagrams at Fearscape Pod, and then you can also find us on 100.9 WCHQ on Sunday nights at 9 p.m.
That's right.
You're listening right now.
Where you're listening right now. Check that out. You can check out our podcast. It is not family friendly, so
nope,
be
I say
ready
bad
for
words.
That. He says bad words. I also say bad words.
Kelly says
bad words. Who's our
I say
host?
Bad words when we're not on the air.
But thank you guys so much. You can check out Brad and I every first Saturday of the month at 10 p.m. at the Bardstown doing improv, and we actually have a long form called Fearscape that we do, and we'll be there Derby night.
Yeah, we will.
Y'all, come on out. 10 o'clock. Tickets are $10. Other than that, thank you guys for tuning in. Send us in your listener stories. We didn't get to any today because we had the whole episode on listener stories. But you can send those to
Facebook stories.
Fearscape stories at WCHQFM.com. And I have been Stefan. I will catch you on the flip side.
And I have been Brad. Hold those blankies extra tight.
Good night, folks.